David for 5 Minute Foundations. Take this little sheet from in your bulletin. You can follow along. The 5 Minute Foundation this morning is fellowship. And the key verse is Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Can you hear me? Yeah, I am. Good. Okay. You know, oftentimes we think about fellowship as any time we get together where there's not a service or a Bible study or some prepared program. But fellowship allows us to interact with others who share common beliefs and sentiments. And, you know, sometimes we may think that every time we're with everybody, it's kind of a fellowship time, but it's really not. It's the common values and the beliefs that we hold dear and that we share that really make it fellowship rather than just a gathering. And it allows us to, you know, oftentimes when we get together and we're talking, it allows us to recognize our own faults, something that we should be doing. We know, you know, that's what God told us to do, but we're not doing it. And so it kind of, it's like iron sharpening iron. You know, we become stronger Christians when we allow others to have opportunity to speak into our lives and to share spiritual growth that they've experienced or testimonies or miracles that they've seen, all of those kinds of things. So fellowship is really a biblical kind of a thing that connects us all as the body. And it is, you know, that mutual faith that we have is what sets it apart. Now, if you follow here, biblical one another's, okay? There's so many of these in the Bible. But the first one is John 3:34, love one another. There's so many of these one another commands in the Bible. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. And Romans 15:14, you may not even realize it when you're sharing with a Christian brother or sister that you are instructing one another. It may not be the kind of instruction you'd get in school or when Pastor Dave stands up here and preaches to us, but it's instruction if we are receiving it that way. And Galatians 5:13, serve one another. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another. Compassion, I think, is probably some of the easier things out of these one another commands that we might have for one another. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another. Hebrews 10:24 says, spur one another on towards love and good deeds. You know, because we hear about something that someone is sharing and we say, I could do that. You know, 1 Peter 4:9 says, offer hospitality to one another. We do that with our neighbors who are not even saved. But it's really important. And like I think about, Sister Carol had said in our ladies' gathering a couple weeks ago, hey, if you're willing to make a meal for somebody, let me know so I can get you on our list. So when we are sharing fellowship with our Christian brothers and sisters, we have the opportunity for Christian growth. You know, some of those things that you might think about at the beginning of the year. Edification. We might think to ourselves, you know, I could ask one of my friends to be, that I could be accountable for them. And that would be something that that we might gather from this time. The next one is fellowship means developing relationships. And it is vital for you to be involved in something smaller than the whole. Smaller than the big congregation where we get together on Sundays and we worship our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you.
We're going to sing one more song to the Lord. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, I will pray in the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing in the Spirit and I will sing the understanding. We have an opportunity to just lift up a song that isn't on the screen. It wasn't written down by somebody else. It's the song that comes from our heart to Him. And so as we go through this song, There's going to be an opportunity. We're just going to cut back off on the music a little bit. And I want you just to begin to sing a song to the Lord. Your own words. Your own melody. Try to stay on key, but your own melody. And let's just let a personal praise come to Him this morning. Let's stand together.
Oh, glory to Your name, Lord. The Scripture says that God inhabits the praises of His people. You want God to come worship Him. Oh, Jesus, let's lift up our voices again. Oh, we give You glory, Lord. Praise Your name. Oh, glory, glory to Your name. Let Your presence fall. Let Your presence come, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Glory, glory to Your name. If you're familiar with the teaching on the nine gifts of the distinctly supernatural gifts of the Spirit that are outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know that one of them is the word of knowledge. And I hear the Lord saying today that He wants to activate that gift inside of some of you. Some of you, you've heard things. You've heard it in your brain, but the enemy has lied you out of it, told you that's your own mind, your own thoughts, your own thinking. Today I want to encourage you, if God speaks a word of knowledge to your spirit, something that nobody else can know, but it unlocks something in the spirit for someone, that's God, and you need to be bold. And if you think you got one, you come see me. Come talk to me, or come talk to Pastor Tom, or talk with one of our elders, or talk with Curtis. Oh, Jesus, there's somebody today, and you've had a problem with your hand. There's a finger that's never been right. There's somebody's hand. God wants to heal somebody's hand this morning, a finger in particular. I'm hearing like the middle finger. A finger in somebody's hand. Come. There's somebody else here this morning. You're here, and I want to say it's your left knee, but it's a knee problem. Pastor Dave, we're an old congregation. You could probably point to any part of the body, and somebody will tell us that there's a problem there. But I'm hearing a knee. Somebody needs a touch for that knee. Glory to Your name. Oh, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Join with me as we pray for these. And I know a pastor, a friend of mine, he used to say, when God reveals, He heals. Oh, Jesus. Father, we just pray. Father, Lord, I pray for my brother that You would release him from that problem in his hand in the name of Jesus. Regenerate that hand. Let it work and do what it's supposed to do. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, You're able. Father, I pray for my brother that You would touch him. Father, that You would bring health, wellness to his being. And Lord, I'm praying for a release for this man's ears in the name of Jesus. Healing for his ears in the name of Jesus. God, let his ears be opened. Ears be opened in the name of Jesus. Touch his body, Father. Oh, God, I pray for this brother that You would bless him, that You would pour out of Your mighty Spirit on him. God, I pray that the Spirit of God would come and cover him, that You would touch him in every physical need. Lord, in the name of Jesus, give him what he needs. Give him what he needs in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rababa Kasite. Thank You, Lord. Father, I pray for my sister, for her hand, that You would deliver her from every hand problem, every hand issue, in the name of Jesus. God, that we would begin to hear testimonies of the miraculous healing power of our God. Do it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray for my sister, Lord, that You would deliver her from arthritis in the name of Jesus. God, that You would deliver her in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, arthritis, go from this body, Father. Lord, I pray for deliverance and healing for her in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God, you can do it. Lord, I anoint my brother, Father, that you would move in his body. God, you know exactly what this brother needs. I pray that the power of the Spirit of God would come on him. God, let that power of the Spirit of God come upon him. In the name of Jesus, bring health and healing and wellness. Oh, spring up a well. Spring up a well. Do it, Lord. Father, I pray for my sister, Lord, that for complete deliverance, Father, from every physical infirmity that has come to steal from her in the name of Jesus. Father, the enemy has tried everything to steal this sister's joy, and yet we proclaim release for this captive in the name of Jesus. Release for this captive in the name of Jesus. Break forth into joy, O her soul. Oh, Jesus, what the enemy has tried to steal from this one. Oh, God, restore it, restore it, restore it in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rababakashite. Oh, God, I pray for this brother. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would raise this man up in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would touch everything within him. Father, like you spoke to Gideon, Lord, even though he didn't see himself as the man that God had called, Father, you said, oh, mighty man of valor. Father, in Jesus' name, I proclaim over this man that you are raising him up to be a mighty man of valor in the name of Jesus. And he will be strong and do exploits. Oh, in the name of Jesus, touch him. Father, bring release in every physical thing that hampers this man. In the name of Jesus, bring healing, bring release. Oh, God. Father, there's much, much, much labor ahead for this man. Give him strength. Give him strength and grace for the walk ahead, for the path ahead. Oh, God, for the plans that you have for him. Lord, he is going to build the kingdom of God. Give him grace and strength to do it in Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. Lift up your voice and praise him. Oh, we give you glory. We give you glory and honor and praise. Oh, Jesus. Glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen. Oh, glory to your name. Now I'm going to expect testimonies. I know you said you had one. I think that's fine. Go ahead.
Life in the past year and a half has been very challenging. I've been through where my father almost passed away. My oldest daughter's almost, their family was almost torn apart. Like 10 months ago, there was a serial murder in Houston, Texas. That this one evening had already killed three women, and he attacked my youngest daughter outside of a laundromat, and God has protected her. And in my own personal life, God has been, I've been through so many challenges. I have lost everything material-wise on this earth. And I have been verbally ridiculed and mentally abused. Through this situation, I've lost my husband. He hasn't died, but he's terminal with cancer, and I can no longer be with him. And everything has been destroyed. But God is much stronger. There's a silver lining to this situation. And God has already revealed it to me. My neighbor, it also involves her, the silver lining does. My neighbor put her and her daughter at physical risk to bring me into her home in this situation. This situation has touched people all the way in Colorado, New Jersey, Artport, Cornell, Almond. And all the legal problems are being financially taken care of through the owner and the management team of the trailer park. The silver lining is the owner of the trailer park is providing me and my neighbor, Cassie, where we can afford it, a brand spanking new three-bedroom trailer that once the situation is straightened out, we're going to be moving in a brand new trailer. So if you think that when you're going through things, no matter how bad they are, how little they are, do not deny your faith and your praise and worship to God. I committed my life, every part of my life, not that long ago, to God, that my thoughts, my words, I still have problems with anger and things coming out that should not, but I'm like, God, please forgive me. I'm human. God has been faithful. And God has provided. I was thankful and I wanted to move back into my trailer that God provided a year and a half ago for $100. I have stood faithful on His word and His promises. I have lost everything. And God has provided us with a brand new home.
Amen.
So no matter what,
yeah,
commit yourself to being faithful to God. Our treasures are not here on earth. They are in heaven. And God will provide every one of our needs.
Amen. 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 Think I'm on. Am I on? Okay. I don't know. I have trouble hearing myself sometimes. All right. Praise God. I have a few prayer. Yes.
I've been here for a long time, but you haven't asked for praises lately. I don't know if you remember last year I had a praise. I was given 750 acres to Hunan in Pennsylvania that I'd lost 4 years ago or so. And when I lost it, I said to myself, all things work out for the good who love the Lord. And I keep telling myself that every time something happens. Well, in 2020, we lost a lease in Indiana. We hunted for ever since 1994 up until 2020, and we got outbid on it, and so we had to hunt state land, which is, you know, we had 20 people at a time going by us on walks. And the deer, we had chances of a few deer, but I keep telling myself the things work out for the better for those who love the Lord. So last year, I've been calling, ever since 2020, I've been calling this guy on leases. He owns property, and he says, no, Danny, I haven't got anything. I probably won't ever have anything. All my property is leased out. So last year, I called him. I said, this is your pain from New York calling you once a year. And he said, well, Danny, he says, I might have something for you. So he took me and my buddy to his lease. He just bought it, and we had 3 days left of hunting, and we went up on a Saturday. And after he got through showing us the lease, it was contiguous to the lease we lost, and in between another lease and all these farm fields. Absolutely perfect. So my buddy said to him, says, well, we got 3 days left. How much would you charge us to hunt? And he said, just go ahead and hunt, enjoy it, and let me know if you want it. So we went out. Half hour after I sat down, I shot a nice buck. Next day, my buddy goes out and shoots a nice buck. So we leave, and I called him up, and he says, well, how'd it go? I says, well, we both tagged out, and we will take the lease. So we got back home. I had six guys on the lease. Got my grandson to get the four of his buddies. Got the money all together. We went down turkey hunting and dropped off the check. The lease is all said and done, and my grandson went out turkey hunting and come back and said, "Grandpa, that's the best turkey hunting I've ever seen in my life." He says, "I want to come down for the rest of my life and turkey hunt." So he's got 5 years, 5-year lease, and I told the guy, I said, "I'm going to be 80 years old when the lease is done." So I said, now I got to be stay healthy and be able to do it. But praise the Lord. All things work out for the good for those who love the Lord.
Amen. Rita. And I have to ask you, please don't be allergic to the mic. If you hold the mic here, I'll give you a lesson. If you hold the mic here, we might hear you. If you hold the mic here, we might hear you. If you hold the mic here, we're going to hear you. These mics are, is it Omni or Uni? I can't remember. unidirectional. And you got to be straight on, and it needs to be right here. So don't be allergic to the microphone. Have it right here. Oh, now Rita's going to get tested on it.
No, I just want to say thank you for all that's been praying for Tony. Appreciate it. He's got some broken bones, but they'll heal. And he's coming a long way. His arm is healing. But he needs some more therapy. And also, I thank God for my neighbors, Kim. She's a blessing. And I just, God is good.
Amen. God is good.
Amen.
Yep.
Get to pray for Julie Riley.
We will. Okay. Yes, we absolutely will. Yep. Okay. Praise God. So, I do have a few prayer needs today. I want to ask you, I just have I don't want to sound like I'm being prophetic with this, but I just have a sense we really need to be praying for our government over the next few weeks. I feel like we're in a place where the lid's going to come off the pot, and there's the potential for some difficult times. So we need to be in prayer for our government and prayer for our leaders, that God will use all of that in His purpose to stir up awakening in our country. I believe it's coming, but let's pray this morning. I want to pray. Sister Kim brought a prayer request to me. She has some friends, Pam and Jim, who just lost their son, Austin, 19 years old, to brain cancer. Heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking thing. I'd like to pray for Pam and for Jim. We're going to continue to lift up Tony, as Rita just shared, and Joe Spinelli. We want to lift up our sister Judy Riley, our faithful sister who's always here, is not here this morning. She's home. She's got gout. Yeah, got it in one foot, and it's kind of spread to the other foot, and she's got some medication, but we want to pray that God delivers her from that. And I want to ask you also this week, please be in prayer for Sam Russo. Please remember Sam, that God would move and move in his life and release him from everything that been holding him back. And some of you know the situation and some of you don't. That's okay. God knows. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up, Lord, physical needs. And God, we're asking for you to manifest a gift of healing, Lord, that you would touch our sister Judy's gout, that you would deliver her body from that in Jesus' name. Lord, that you would help Tony's body to be mended from all of the damage of that fall, that you'd touch Brother Joe's hip, Father, as he rehabs that you would help him to get his mobility back. Father, in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we pray for Sam Russo. Lord, we pray for Sam that you would deliver him, that you would help him, Father, to come back to his own thoughts, his own mind, that you would deliver him from demonic torment. Father, in the name of Jesus, and that you would release him, help him, Father. Bring him back to himself, just as the Gadarene demoniac came back to himself and worshiped at the feet of Jesus. Bring Sam, Lord, do it, Father. Lord, we lift up our government in this day. Lord, we knew when a different administration came that there would be battles. But Father, I think the biggest battles are still before us. And God, we pray that you would rain down your grace on our country of America. Lord, have mercy, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, do whatever you need to do to bring awakening to our country, Father. But we pray, Lord, in this season that you would be Lord, that you would be the one, the peacemaker, the God who brings justice and peace. Father, move, we pray. Be with our government leaders. Be with the ones that are the prophetic voices today in government who are Christians and are standing up for your truth. God, in Jesus' name, strengthen and bless them. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Glory to your name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, I had a wonderful opportunity this week to be able to go to Elam. Usually I don't have that opportunity because of my work, but every year Elam has a minister's conference, and I was able to get away. It always falls right the week that I have concerts. Right on the week. It never fails. It always seems to fall. And it did again. But I was able to go up on Wednesday. And while I was there on Wednesday, I didn't really know what to expect. I knew I took the day. We had had a huge concert the night before, and we went up and I was just exhausted, but I knew that I needed to be there. So I sat in the first meeting, and they had an extended time of worship, and I was just enjoying the presence of the Lord. I wasn't feeling real great. So I sat down, and I just was enjoying the presence of the Lord, and I felt the Spirit of God just come upon me. And at first, I thought, oh God, no, what are you going to ask me to do? Please don't ask me to do anything weird. Please. Because I've sensed that before, and God has made me get up and do weird things in front of people. Or say weird things in front of people. And I'm like, God, I'm nobody here. Nobody knows me. I can't do anything. But I felt this prophetic sense come upon me, and I'm sitting under it, but there's nothing there. I don't hear anything. I was like, well, okay, Lord, whatever you want to say to me or do, I don't care. And as I sat there, all of a sudden I saw it. I saw Israelites digging wells. I saw them digging out these wells, water wells. And then I saw the Philistines come and plug them all up with dirt, right up to the top. And the scripture talks about that. And then I heard God say, this is the hour that I want to unstop the ancient wells. Open up the wells and let the water flow out again. And it struck me. I said, God, I sat there just... I hardly heard what the first speaker even preached about. And I was just so taken with this thing that I felt the Lord show me. And then I saw Andy and Heather, and I walked over and I was talking to Andy, and I said, Andy, during worship, the Lord showed me this thing. I said, the Israelites are digging the wells, and the Philistines stop. And Andy's like, yep. And I'm like, this is incredible. And he's like, yep. Well, come to find out, that was the theme of the conference. They had been talking about it all day before, and they were going to talk about it all day, but I didn't know it because I live under a rock. I didn't know. Tom, I honestly didn't know. I just went. And I thought, God, I said, great, God, I guess I'm about 5 steps behind everybody else on the earth. And I felt the Lord say, no, I wanted to reveal it to you so that you would know it was me speaking to you. And then every other session after that came alive in my heart. Brother Paul Johansson preached this message about opening wells. I'll probably remember it the rest of my life. It was powerful. Tom, I think I'm going to plagiarize it. I'm going to plagiarize it and preach it here because it was so good. You'll know it wasn't me. It was Brother Johansson, but what a message. Ah, on opening wells. It just incredible. And then we heard Sean Smith in the evening service, and it was a completely different approach. It wasn't, Brother Johansson's was just a very concise, my kind of guy, real teaching. I could grab onto every point. It was awesome. Sean Smith was more exhortive and encouraging and prophetic, and that was just amazing too. But just an incredible thing that I felt like the Lord showed. And so I want to bring some of that to you today. And I'd like to talk for a bit about wells. And I don't want to revisit everything that I heard this week, but I want to look at wells and how it relates to Wellsville Full Gospel Church. And isn't it really cool? We live in Wellsville. Yeah. Wellsville. Yes. And as always, if you want to find something of spiritual truth, you can always go back and find it in Genesis. You can bring up my first slide there. Genesis 2, 5 and 6. And so interesting. Genesis, the beginnings. You can find so much spiritual truth that carries all the way to Revelation, and it starts out in Genesis. Now no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, nor had any plant of the field sprouted. For the Lord God had not yet sent rain upon the earth, and there was no man to cultivate the ground, but springs welled up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. In the beginning, there was no rain. It didn't rain down. It rained up. Some of your scriptures would talk about a mist coming up. No, I think it was springs coming up from under the ground and watering everything. Oh, glory to God. And I want to tell you, there's water in the ground. There is water in the ground, saints. And what does water speak to us of in the scriptures? John 7:37, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and called out in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." He was speaking about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Oh, glory to his name. In Genesis 26, I'm going to hop back into Genesis for just a minute. And this is quite a long section. I'm not going to take time to expound on all of it, but I want to read through some of this. Genesis 12, now Isaac sowed seed in the land, and that very year he reaped 100-fold. There's something we could spend the rest of the time talking about that verse and the implications of it. But, and the Lord blessed him, and he became richer and richer until he was exceedingly wealthy. He owned so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So the Philistines took dirt and stopped up all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the day of his father Abraham. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Depart from us. You are much too powerful for us." So Isaac left that place and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. And I'm not going ahead. Well, yes. And Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave these wells the same names his father had given them. Then Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of fresh water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, "The water is ours." So he named the well Esek because they contended with him. Then they dug another well and quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sitna. Uh-oh. Now how did that happen? All right. Maybe we're playing a tag. I don't know. He moved on from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. He named it Rehoboth and said, "At last the Lord has made room for us, and we will be fruitful in the land." From there, Isaac went up to Beersheba, and that night the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." So Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there. His servants also dug a well there. Abraham was a well digger. Abraham dug a lot of wells, and he taught Isaac to be a well digger. And the key to surviving in the land of Israel was water. Water was key 3,000 years ago. It's still key there today. So important is water in the Middle East that a decisive battle for control in the Middle East during World War I was over the well of Beersheba that we just read about. When the Allied forces led by the Austrian light horsemen captured the well of Beersheba, they turned the tide of the war against the Ottoman Turks in World War I. If you'll notice in verse 25, it says, Isaac built an altar and he dug a well. Isaac built an altar and he dug a well. He built an altar. You know, we all need our altar. We need our place of sacrifice. We need our place of atonement. But he also dug a well, the source of the Holy Spirit, water, life. And in our spiritual walk, we need not only forgiveness and redemption, but we need a flowing river in our lives. We need a flowing river in our lives. And it means that we need to dig. It means that you have to get your shovel out and you have to dig. There's effort. It calls for effort, dedication, sweat, perseverance to create and maintain a well. Where is my... What is going on here today? Okay, I have a picture of this dude in a hole here digging a well. That's a little well. Check it out, though. In the days of Israel, they didn't have drills. They didn't have the equipment that we have now. They had their hands. They had shovels and picks, and they had buckets. And to dig out a well was a lot of work. I'm looking at this guy here thinking, wow, what he had to do to go down that far. And the Israelites had to go, some of them probably had to go at least 30 feet deep to avoid groundwater contamination. 30 feet! It meant they had to dig it wide enough for one or two guys to get down in there. And then they had to lower buckets, fill them out, dump them, dig. And then once they finally got down far enough where they hit water, they had to keep digging until it clarified. And then they had to wall up the sides with rocks or stones or whatever they had in order to create a barrier to protect from contamination from groundwater. It was a big undertaking to dig these wells. We read and it says, oh, Abraham dug a well. So I was like, oh, yeah, all done, yeah. Dug another well. Yeah, that was easy. It's not like digging at the sand at the beach, folks. This was a huge, huge undertaking. Incredible. And to make a well. Proverbs 20, did I put that up there? Proverbs 20, no, I keep going the wrong way. It's me, I'm pushing the wrong button. Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to search it out. You know, God has put this water beneath the surface, and then he says, dig. He says, dig. Get in there and uncover it. Jesus said, ask, seek, knock, persevere. The Philistines, however, were well destroyers. They were well destroyers. You know, it's one thing to go in and steal somebody's well. I mean, and where they lived, that was, you're stealing their life. To steal the well and steal the water. But they didn't steal it. They went in and destroyed it. They filled it up so not only Israel could get it, nobody could get it. Their job was not to steal the water. It was to destroy it. Wow. Why did they do that? Genesis 26:14. He owned so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. They envied him. That word envy in the Hebrew, that's a very, very active Hebrew word. It just doesn't mean envy. It means hatred. It means a rage and an anger that not only just envies and wants it, it wants to destroy it so that nobody can have it. And Isaac actually brought revival to the land there. He brought hope to the inhabitants, and the Philistines wanted to stop revival and stop hope. And there is a spiritual force in the world today that has come and wants to stop up the wells. Wants to prefers destruction over hope. The Philistines in this account are the demonic forces of Satan today that try to come and fill up wells and destroy the life. And then they hang out, they remain, so that they can try and keep the wells from being reopened. They're going to protect it. Protect the destruction. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it in all of its fullness. In this season, I believe God is calling us to re-dig the wells that have been stopped up. Redig the wells. How do we do that? Well, I'm looking at it at two levels. Number one, I think it happens on several levels. Your personal well. You need your own personal well. You need that well of life. Remember that Isaac built an altar and he built a well. Each of us needs that altar where we meet with God, but we need the well where we receive His Spirit and are refreshed and strengthened. And the devil will come and try to stop up your well. He will try to do it with weariness, hopelessness, unforgiveness, who knows what it is. Hurt, pain, whatever he can throw into your well. Junk, garbage, throw it in your well. Dig past it with prayer and with truth. Dispel the doubts and the hopelessness. Build perseverance. The scripture says, do not be weary in well-doing. Dig past it. Believe God for it. And then it's important to find your well. Pastor Dave, what does that mean? Find your well. Where is it that you find life? Where's the Holy Spirit moving in your life? Where is He moving in you? Where's the flow? Where's the water? Where do you dig? Where is God speaking to you? Where do you get your joy? Where is it that God is moving? He'll show you where to start digging, and that's where you dig in and seek Him with everything you're worth. Go after it. That Holy Spirit moving will show you where to dig. Corporate wells. And I'm talking now about Wellsville Full Gospel Church. I'm talking about Wellsville, the village, the town, Allegheny County. And you know, I don't really think our town needs revival. Now I'm playing with words here a little bit, but humor me in this. I don't think our town needs revival. I think we need a ground-shaking awakening where it's not just raining, but where the wells open up from underneath and the water gushes out. Where it comes out like it did in Genesis that we read. And, you know, people have been praying and praying and praying and praying in our area. And lots of the churches have come together and have been praying and praying and praying. I remember there was years ago, a whole group of pastors said, we need to join together and pray and believe God for a move of God in this region. And those pastors started to pray, and out of that came prayer meetings in various churches all over the place. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And after about 20, 25 years of this praying and praying, they started to say, where's the revival? Where is it? What's happening? Why is nothing happening? Where is it? And they said, something must be wrong. And I'm not railing against anybody, but there was a whole thing of maybe we need to repent. Maybe we need more repentance. Maybe something's wrong with us. And I went to a few meetings where there was great repentance, and it was very difficult to sit in that meeting. I remember my wife and I left one of them, and we were like, this just does not feel right. It was very heavy and very hard. Paul Johansson told a story about how people thought it was so wonderful. Wow, you are involved in this. Paul Johansson is an elder at Elim. He's been a missionary for years and years. He was a missionary in Africa. He's in his 80s now and is still like a driving force in the kingdom of God. Every time I hear the man, I hear God speak. And he shared how people would say, oh, brother Paul, isn't it amazing that you have this wonderful thing you've been involved in Africa? Oh, it must just be so wonderful. And he said, yeah, well, it took like two or three years of planning and praying, and then it took five years of building this, and another 10 years of doing that, and this, and on and on. And he says, and then we finally got there. Some of it takes time. Somebody's got to dig it out. Somebody's got to put the time and the sweat and the perseverance and to dig that thing out until they strike water. And I think that God in this region is having us dig a really deep well. A really deep well. But you know what? The deeper the well, the purer the water. The deeper the well, the greater the cost. It's going to cost us something. Oh, but is it worth it when you hit it? Oh, if you see people digging for water and they finally hit an aquifer down there and it goes and out it comes. Oh God, we're waiting for that moment in the spirit when we hit that aquifer. Ladies and gentlemen, it is coming. It is coming, it is coming, it is coming. And the closer we get to that water, the greater the warfare. The greater the warfare is going to be. We've got battles on every front. Because the devil does not want that well open. He doesn't want that water to come out. Oh, glory to God. But we're getting close, and I thank God. I wish we could get a vision for the labor involved, because it's just such a precious thing to have a really deep, pure well. And when we hit water here, Allegheny County is gonna know it. Oh, glory to His name. It's coming. It's happening. And the water's down there. And I think we're close. I think we're close, folks. I think God is going to move. How do we be a well digger? I've been asking the Lord that. How do we do it? Come on. Keys to being a well digger. Number one, you got to be desperate. Desperation. Desperation. God, we need this water. The woman with the issue of blood was desperate and pushed through the crowd. She forced her way through. She broke the law. She broke the law. But she got to Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus was desperate and shouted and screamed and yelled despite all of the naysayers telling him to sit down and shut up. All the Philistines that were trying to do that. There is a perseverance in digging that God needs us to have. How long do we have to dig? How long do we have to persevere? Until we hit water. But the promise is there. It's there. There's water down there. We just got to get to it. Oh, glory to God. Sean Smith at our conference said, we need to have more grit to open the well than the devil does to keep it closed. We need to have more grit to open that well than the devil does to keep it bottled up and emptied out. Oh, glory to his name. And secondly, to be a well digger, focus on the flow, not the fight. The closer you get to the water, the greater the spiritual warfare is going to be. But if you focus on the water, you'll keep digging. If you focus on the battle, you'll get weary. Focus on the water. Jesus, Hebrews 12:2, he said, let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. In other words, Jesus was able to get through the cross because he never looked at the cross. He looked beyond it. He looked beyond it to the joy, to what was coming, and that's how he was able to endure the cross. And that's how we're able to endure if we'll believe God and fix our eyes on the focus on the flow, not on the fight. Oh, remember the promise, James 4:8, draw near unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. It's a promise. There's water down there and we're close. Before the Azusa Street revival that catapulted Pentecostalism, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, there was a lot of digging that went on. There were people in that place who labored and prayed and sought God. They dug and they refused to give up. People in the days of Charles Finney would send these people into a town before he ever got there, and they would get on their faces and they would fast. And they would pray and intercede and pray and pray and pray and pray and believe God. And then when Charles Finney showed up, everybody thought he was wonderful. But what had happened is somebody went in and dug. They dug it up. They dug it up and it came. Sean Smith challenged everybody at our conference to stop showing up digging with a spoon. Quit digging with a spoon. Boy, I tell you what, when he said that, though, it hit me because in some ways I can see in my life how I've dug with a spoon instead of with a shovel. Oh, he said, the grind will yield the glory. God began to show me, as I sat there, the places in my life where I was using a spoon instead of a shovel, places in my life where I was willing to give my time and attention to things that didn't give anything back to me. Where am I sowing? Oh, glory to God. Focus on the flow. And then lastly, yeah, Hebrews 12:2, who for the joy set before him. Those were those two scriptures we just talked about. Number three, protect your well. Protect your well. The devil wants, above all else, to fill up your well so you don't get a drink. And God wants you to drink of the Spirit of God. He wants you to have that. He wants you to protect it. He wants you to have that. Chase away those Philistines that come and try to throw junk in your well. Don't receive it. My wife and I have been watching this series on TV about the life of David, and I have to say it was just frankly awful. Everything about it was awful. They got the scriptures wrong. They got the timeline wrong. They portrayed David completely wrong. They messed up. They messed up Samuel in some ways. They messed up. It was hard to watch. I don't know why we did, but we did. Because there was something we were waiting to see. There was one part that they got right. There was one part they got right, and it was at the very end. And all of a sudden, David shows up. And David's this little spindly kid. And he's in the camp. His father finally sends him down with provisions. And all of Israel, all the mighty men are all shaking in fear. And Goliath comes stepping out. And they had this guy that was like, I don't know how the camera tricks. He was huge. He was a monster. Send me a champion. And he's, I defy the armies of God. I defy your God. And all the Israelites are shaking. And David comes through. They got it right. And he said, how come nobody's fighting this guy? How come nobody's gone out and fought him? And they like said, have you seen him? He's a god. He's blaspheming our God. And he looked at his brother. He said, why didn't you fight him? How come somebody hasn't? And they said, well, we can't. And he says, I'll fight him. I'll fight him. And they're like, David, shut up. Shut up. I mean, stop it. And they're dragging him away. No, I will fight him. And they finally took him into the king because he had the only thing that sued the king and delivered him from the oppression that he had was David's playing. And so they brought him into the king's tent. And David said, let me go. Let me go. I can defeat the Philistine. I can do it. And there was something, as I watched it, they really portrayed that well. Something of the Spirit of God in David. The king saw it. And he said, you got it. Wow. He felt the Spirit of God in him. You have it. And David said, let me go. I've killed the lion. I've killed the bear. I can kill him. He's blasphemed God. Well, he walks out and all the Israelites are like, we're going to die. We're all going to die. This guy's going to go fight. It's the end. He can't do it. And they're like trying to tell him. And David's just, out of my way. Get out of my way. And he looks at that giant and he says, I'm going to take your head. You've defied the living God. And he takes off running. He's running at this giant, and the giant's throwing spears at him, and he's dodging spears. And as Hollywood would do it, you know, one of the spears kind of bumps him, and he falls down, which never happened. But he gets up, and he whips that stone, whack! And I'm like, yes! Get him! And you hear this big clunk, and Goliath stands there, and his hand starts to shake. And then all of a sudden, wham! I'm like, yeah, go cut his head off now! Woo! And David runs up and he pulls out that thing and he chops off his head and he holds up the head of the Philistine. And as I saw that, I said, God, help us to have the determination to do that to the Philistines of this age. To stand up to them. To run at the Philistines. To say, you will not steal our inheritance. Your well is your inheritance. It belongs to you. That's your refreshing. That's when the Philistines stole their wealth. They took Israel's inheritance. Oh, don't let him do it. It's your inheritance. Take it back. Dig it out. It's yours, and God wants you to have that gushing water, and we're getting close to it. Oh, get out a shovel. Toss your spoon. Get out your shovel and start digging. There's water, and it's coming. Oh, it's coming. I saw it in my spirit. I heard it just as clear at that conference. I heard it. God wants to open up those wells and let water go and water the ground, just as we read in Genesis. Oh, saints, it's time to get your shovel out. It's time to dig. It's time to be a well digger. It's time to get desperate. Focus on the flow and chase those Philistines away. Don't let them throw garbage in your well. Father, in Jesus' name, give us the determination. Oh, give us the determination to persevere and not to give up, Lord, when the digging gets tough, where we hit really hard stuff, and the enemy comes like Sanballat came and said, you'll never rebuild the temple, where the enemies of God came to discourage them in the days of Nehemiah. Father, help us not to listen to the Philistines. Help us not to give in to the voices that say, you'll never be able to get there. There's not any water down there. You can't do it. It's too hard. Help us not to build shrines to the old wells that used to be there. Help us to dig them out so that there's life again. Give us grace, Father, to run hard after you. Help us to kill the Philistines that come and try to speak against you, railing words against the Word of God. And help us, Father, to dig until we see that water come. Father, our own personal well, and God, and if for our land, for our town, our village, our county, God, in Jesus' name, help us to be well diggers. Help us, Father. Oh, Jesus, that you would send us an awakening where we'll have water to cover the whole region. Oh, Jesus, we believe that you can do it. Oh, you are a good God. Thank you. Give us the grace and the determination to continue on and to focus on the flow and not the fight. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I know we prayed for some needs earlier today, but if you're here and you need God to meet with you, please don't leave. Someone will be here to pray with you today. And we want to believe God with you for your own personal victory. Glory to His name. And otherwise, God bless you. Go out and keep digging.